Stand by for audio.
Lost 34 to 11.
Got it.
And now,
the Alex Baker Show
brings you one of the most exciting events it's ever been our privilege to bring.
Here we go again.
And this is just the beginning.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Oh, Alex, so fun.
The Alex Baker
is on fire.
Ryan Radio.
Play as much Alexis on Fire as possible tonight. I love Alexis on Fire.
Me too.
Isn't it exciting they're back? Are they properly back now?
I think so. I don't know if they've said if they're doing an actual album or anything, but they did some gigs. They played Reading and Leeds.
Oh.
Smashed the hell out of it.
Smashed the
oh God. Descended into fire. I remember when I was a young developing rock fan.
Yeah.
And I
first
started seeing their name around.
Yeah.
You know, back in the really early days. I was always really nervous to become a fan because I didn't know how to say it.
Alex is on fire.
I didn't know if it was that or Alexis on fire. And because at the time they weren't being played on radio or TV.
Yeah, no one was saying it.
Yeah, they weren't very big, so no one would say it. And you'd see it in magazines, but that didn't help at all.
No. And so, you couldn't go on YouTube and say, how do you say Alexis on fire?
Because there wasn't
a YouTube.
Wasn't really a thing. So I actively avoided becoming a fan for ages.
That's really weird.
Because I was so nervous about it.
I wonder how many other people that affected.
I just felt excluded, you know?
I wonder if they were like a bigger band. They would have been a bigger band if it wasn't for their name.
Maybe.
People being scared they were going to say the name wrong. anyway, so welcome to the show. This is the Alex Baker Show. My name's Alex Baker. Hello. Hope you're well. There's no Renee today. She couldn't be asked. But Kevin's here.
Hello.
We were off last week. We've been off and on like so much recently.
Let's not say she couldn't be asked because people already think
that we're
quite lazy.
Yeah, she's
gone to Greece.
I thought it was Spain.
Oh,
she's gone somewhere.
Maybe she's telling us different stories.
Oh, maybe
spinning a web of lies.
Maybe she really couldn't be arsed though. No, she has gone away. She's gone on holiday with her boyfriend, I think, Dan.
Oh,
you know, he came in. You were off like ages ago.
Oh,
he
yeah.
came in and did the show.
How was that?
It was really weird. Like, it was great. Like,
right.
But yeah.
What did he do? What did you do with Dan?
Just sort of asked him loads of really inappropriate questions. What do you think I did?
Oh, well,
just asked him loads of really inappropriate
about
questions about Renee. Yeah.
And did she answer them? Did he answer them?
Yeah, there was a few little moments where I thought they were going to beat each other up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so they've got past that point in the relationship where he's totally terrified of.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Of ruining it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think they're pretty easy going with each other.
That's good. That's the best bit to be in.
Yeah.
You can get, you know, the juice.
You get the juice.
As it were.
Oh, God.
Did he rank in the kind of leaderboard of Kev standings?
Oh.
I mean, there's only really him and Chris. I don't think there's been anyone else.
Well, I mean, Chris is, like, definitely better, but that's a bit of a mean thing to ask me, isn't it?
Poor Dan.
Apropos of nothing.
Well, let's be fair. You were probably quite mean to him, asking him all these intimate questions.
I was.
So it's only, you know, restoring the balance.
Yeah. So for people that don't know what the hell's going on, this is a moment in the Kerrang Radio schedule given over to me years and years and years ago. I said to the boss at the time, bear in mind that was the boss at the time. There's been three bosses since.
Yeah.
No one's had the balls to, like, just tell me to stop doing this show.
I'm not sure any of the bosses since are even aware of the show.
I think we just kind of guerrilla it.
I think they just think that the station goes into, you know, like, non-stop music on a Sunday night because they never listen.
But instead, it's us. So we sit around and we talk about various different things. That's what we've been doing for how long has it been? Almost 6 years.
Yeah, it'll be 6 years this September. This month.
This
month. September now.
Oh my
God. That's happened quickly.
So it's been 6 years.
Yeah.
And we've still got things to talk about. How old am I? 31. I was 25 when this started.
Wow.
My goodness. My how time flies. Anyway, so coming up, we're going to be talking about lots of things. The first thing I'm going to tell you about that's coming up. This is why we shouldn't do this show. So one of the things that's coming up is this conversation around the idea that there used to be different types of human.
Oh.
Now, that reaction tells me 1,000 things. More on that later on. We're also going to do a round of what has Kevin done this week?
Nice.
That's coming up in the not-too-distant future. And we're going to be asking a question, does competition make people racist? Yeah. But right now, what I want to ask is this. Now, I think we've actually talked about this on the show before, but I don't know whether anyone's noticed that over the past, I don't know, time flies, so it's difficult to judge, probably about 18 months, maybe 2 years, it seemed to be the case that aeroplane crashes are happening with more regularity. Now, Is it just me? Is it just Kev? Is it just us that think this? Or have you noticed this as well? What's going on? It seems to be that, like, I remember when I was a kid, there was maybe like one reported air crash every like 5 years, and it was like a huge thing. And like, oh my God, an aeroplane has crashed. And you'd like, the images of the plane smouldering would be seared into your brain, and you think, oh my God, flying's terrifying. That's why I was scared of flying, from seeing a particularly horrific crash when I was a kid. But now, there's like an article about an airplane going down pretty much every week.
Yeah, either an airplane going down or going missing or having an accident on the runway or something like that. But it is so frequent. And yet, from my childhood, when I think back to growing up, I can literally only remember... Sorry?
Grozies?
Yeah. Like it.
Back in the day.
I can only remember, I shouldn't be laughing here, but the only incident I can remember is 9/11.
Yeah.
That's the only incident...
Which was just the other day, right?
Friday. That's the only incident involving a plane in any way going wrong.
Well, that you can remember.
That I can remember.
Wow.
Up until the past couple of years.
Yeah.
When there's been loads.
The thing, there was like two planes that went wrong in Malaysia.
Yeah.
And then there was that one that got shot down.
Yeah.
One got shot down. Has everyone forgotten about that?
Over the Ukraine.
And then there was the one that burst into flames and the guy had to land it. There's all sorts.
There's one at the air show the other day as well.
That tragic one at the air show. It's just like, what is going on?
It might not be what it seems.
It's not plain sailing, is it?
What? Can we put about plane crashes?
Not really.
Oh.
Did a little bit though.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Someone let me out of the emergency exit.
Let's just not run away with it.
No.
Run away.
So wrong. The point I was going to make was, is it the case that there are actually a lot more plane crashes for some whatever reason?
Yeah.
Plane technology is getting worse, staffing is getting worse, or it's chance maybe, it's just coincidence, or the weather's getting worse. Or is it the case that there are exactly the same amount of incidents involving planes, but it's just more widely reported now?
News agenda.
Either consciously or subconsciously.
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, you need to know, I'm not addressing you here, Kev, but people listening that might be sort of trying to make their mind up about that question that you've just posed. The news agenda is very much a thing, right? And you have to kind of understand how it works. Like, stories are cyclical. So when something's in the public consciousness, what the media does is they feed that stuff back out to people. So if there's a plane crash and loads of people start talking about plane crashes, what you'll then see over the next following months is loads of stories about aviation and stuff, because people are talking about it. And bear in mind, they're trying to sell papers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying to drive people to their websites. They're trying to make people watch their TV programs. So they feel that if they reflect the things that people are talking about, people will be more likely to engage with it.
Yeah.
And therefore, they can sell more adverts.
Yeah.
Right, that's like basically how it works.
So maybe it's just the case that the news cycle has become more intense because, you know, newspapers are having a harder time.
Mm.
So it's more noticeable that ever since, maybe there was one that kickstarted it all, probably the MH370 going missing, that sort of started a new cycle of stories about aviation. But because, you know, paper sales are so low, but also people are so desperate for web traffic and all this, that cycle has become a bit of an endless loop. What?
I just love the idea of you saying web traffic, because you're just such a web dude.
Oh.
It's just all about the web traffic. No, but totally, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. But it is terrifying, and it's making me very scared of the fact that my wife's apparently going to be taking me to New York for my birthday next year. Which is amazing. She sent me a picture saying, happy birthday, and it was like the booking thing. For New York, and I was like, oh my God, this is the most incredible thing you've ever done ever. Oh my God. And then she sent me another email saying, oh, I feel bad, no, I can't afford it, because I thought that was the price for the whole flight, but that was just the outbound flight, so sorry, it's all off.
Oh,
I was like, how evil are you? That's unbelievable.
Is that real? And it's
real
off.
Real story.
Oh no.
Genuine.
So had she booked it and then got a refund? Or?
No, she just she screenshotted like the booking process.
The checkout.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you just get it confirmed,
didn't
you?
Brutal.
Now.
Anyway, here's some Alexis on Fire. Oh, so good. I love the acoustic version of that. You know, it's not acoustic, it's him and a piano. Have you heard that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's just so good. Happiness by the Kilowatt by Alexis on Fire. We're having an Alexis on Fire fiesta in the... yeah, so we were talking about travel a minute ago, which I'm sure you're really excited about.
Where to sell it.
Have you ever, Kev, have you ever lied?
Have I ever travelled?
Have you ever... tell me, you've been on holiday recently.
Yes.
Where did you go?
I went to Lloret de Mar in Costa Brava, so Spain.
Oh, okay.
Basically.
You with your big fancy words. Was it good?
They're just Spanish words, they're not fancy.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Possibly.
Well, I'm going to ask it anyway.
Go for it.
You could choose whether or not to answer it.
Okay.
That's a weird... never noticed that before.
What?
Can I ask you a question? What a weird thing to
ask.
Well,
that is a question in itself.
Yeah, we already have, so taking liberties.
Might as well ask another one.
Yeah, while you're on a roll. But have you ever lied in a holiday situation to try and get more out of the holiday?
I don't quite know what you mean.
Like, so have you ever gone, oh, it's my honeymoon, can I have a room upgrade?
Oh, I've done the birthday thing at a restaurant.
Have you?
To get a cake.
When it wasn't your birthday?
Yes.
Did you get a cake?
Yes.
Did you feel bad about it?
No.
Amazing.
Ate the lot. It was just because it looked so much fun. Like, it was one of those places, I can't remember
where. Where TJ Friday?
Yeah, I can't even remember where we were, but it was somewhere that they went big on it. But I don't necessarily mean the singing and stuff, because I don't particularly like that.
Too embarrassing.
It was more to do with whatever you got for free.
Yeah.
Like, rather than just like a little cake or like, it was like a bottle of champagne or something. So I was like, yeah, we can get in on that.
A bottle of champagne?
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
I would
like
have
that.
Lied for a bottle of champagne.
Exactly. So yeah, we did do that once. But no, I don't think any other time.
Talking of TJ Friday's birthday songs, you know, I used to work at TJ Friday's.
Well, yes.
Years and years and years ago, when I was like 16, I used to work at TJ Friday's. And I remember the song still. Do you want me to do it?
The birthday song?
Yeah, you have to give it like a... It was like this. I don't know what I've been told.
I don't know what I've been told.
Someone here is getting old. Good news is we sing for free.
Good news is we sing for free.
The bad news is we sing off key. That's how it went.
Amazing.
And sound off happy, sound off birthday. Bring it on down. Happy birthday to you. Wow. All that business.
That's awesome. And like, yeah, because don't like loads of the staff all get involved and sing it.
Yeah, man. I used to stand on tables. I used to stand on the bar top. It's like probably my first... I started being in bands when I was 14. So performing was probably something I learned at TJ Friday's.
Nice.
If I'm honest. Because I used to literally go on the bar and like address the whole restaurant. Before then, I was like super shy.
Yeah.
Couldn't talk to anybody, let alone like a whole restaurant full of people. anyway, so yeah. There's some research got carried out by some company called HipMonk or something, and some stats that have come through about travelling have been totally mad, like people lying to get stuff. Apparently 10%, so that's 1 in 10, statisticians out there, of travellers apparently lie to get hotel upgrades. So imagine that. If you work in a hotel reception desk, you can legitimately assume that 1 in every 10 people is just lying to your face.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. 60% have stolen food from the hotel breakfast buffet. You strike me as someone that might have stolen
food
from
the hotel
breakfast
buffet. Oh,
hang
on a minute. I might have done this. Only like, no, just something to tide me over, like if we're going out for the day.
Just a cheeky sausage or something.
A little pastry.
I was so devastated. I went and stayed at a hotel last week, which is why I was off. And the breakfast, on the first night, it was like a breakfast buffet. You know, when you just go absolutely flip mode. You eat so much food. Your body's not used to eating that amount of food at breakfast. But I ate everything, sausages, bacon, beans, hash browns, this, that, and the other. And I was just thought, oh, yeah, incredible. They made this really busy day. And I went to bed knowing that in the morning I was going to have another kick-ass breakfast buffet. Yeah. And I got into the breakfast place in the morning and there was no buffet. And I was like, oh, sorry, is the buffet not out yet? And she was like, no buffet today. I had to take your order. And I was like, can I order loads of stuff, though? And she was like, oh, well, no, I mean, there's just items on the menu that you order, so like full English breakfast. And I was like, oh, yeah, but I pretty much ate two full English breakfasts yesterday. That's not okay, is
Why
it?
Would they do that to you?
He's like, no, it's horrible. But anyway, 60% of stolen food. 29% raided the maid's trolley for free toiletries.
Oh my God. That is taking it one step too far. I understand, like, taking the little shampoo freebies from the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're there
for. They're there to be taken.
They're freebies.
To be enjoyed.
The next level is taking a towel, which is a bit cheeky.
I couldn't do that. I'd be just totally paranoid that I'd get caught. I'd be the one person that got caught. It'd be like they do a random bag search once every 10 years.
Yeah,
and it would be me, straight up. So Mel and I went to Thailand for our honeymoon. And this was the only time, really, that I've tried to get an upgrade. Because I thought, well, it's my honeymoon, right? So we had this harebrained idea that...
So, and this was actually your honeymoon, though, wasn't it?
It was actually our honeymoon.
Legit.
So we kind of tried to adopt sort of a Derren Brown type tactic. And we tried to go in with the be confident, dress confident, act smart, and you'll get the upgrade, right? So that manifested as Mel and I really dressing up for the flight because we wanted to get the flight upgraded to first class.
Oh,
right?
I see.
Thought on our honeymoon, if it's going to happen anytime, it's going to happen now, right? So we literally turned up to our flight. I was in a full suit.
Literally. Going on holiday.
Literally.
Summer to Thailand where it is hot.
Yeah, no, it wasn't in summer, it was in March.
Oh, okay.
But I was in a full suit.
Not comfortable for a flight, though.
Not at all. And Mel was in like a cocktail dress, right? And we literally had a plastic, you know, those plastic envelopes with like loads of stuff in it.
Yeah.
We had, like, you know, heavy passports and all that.
Oh, yeah.
We had our wedding certificate in there. We were, like, so ready to go. And I remember that we got to the check-in sort of queue, and it was probably about 20 minutes long. And we were standing there, and everyone else was, like, in, you know, sandals and, like, going away on holiday clothes. And I was in my full suit.
Not your wedding suit.
No, it wasn't my wedding
suit. Like a normal
suit. It was like a normal suit, but it was still like, you know, a full suit with a tie and everything. And there's all these people checking in and just like, you know, blah, 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 having a great time. And they all went off. And we got up to the check-in desk and I put my passports down and went, Mr. and Mrs. Baker checking in and sort of smiled at her.
Yeah, subtle.
And Mel kind of like giggled and went, oh, we're just getting married. We just got married, so we're just getting used to that. It's our honeymoon sort of thing, like drop the line.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Bang, put the passports down and she took the passports and looked at mine, sort of looked at me and saw that it said Mr. Alex Baker and smiled at me.
Big fan, listens to the show.
Yeah. Looked, saw that, used her name Badger Revolution. She saw I had my wedding ring on, you know, whatever. And then she looked at Mel's passport. But Mel hadn't changed her passport yet. So it's still her old name. It wasn't Mel Baker. She looked at her, like at Mel, like she was the other woman.
Oh.
And like there was no way that it could be the case that we were married. And she kind of threw the passport back, like with disgust, processed our thing and went, there you go.
Sent you on your way.
Just sent us on our way. And I was in a full suit.
Oh my God.
Like legit. It was just the most depressing experience of my life. And then when we got to the hotel, like I thought, you know, I'd sent them emails saying how honeymoon, blah, blah, blah. Totally expecting upgrades, didn't get a single thing.
Oh.
And I was devastated. And then I got food poisoning. And on the way back, I said to Mel, look, I'm so ill. Do you mind if I upgrade? I can't sit in the plane and not be able to sleep. I'll be so uncomfortable because I'm so massive. I don't fit in the seats properly. I was like, can I upgrade if it's not too expensive? Or if we can both upgrade? And she was like, well, yeah, let's see how much it is. So I went and checked and it was like 350 quid, I think, to upgrade, which is lots of money.
Yeah.
But like not so much that it's completely ridiculous. Like that's per person. Not so much that it's completely ridiculous for one of us to do it.
Oh, I see, right.
So I was like, oh, Mel, are you going to, could maybe I just upgrade? And she was like, no way.
You were really ill though, weren't you?
I was so ill. Like I was going to the toilet like every 15 minutes. Yeah. So she said no. So on the way back, I had to sit. Oh, it was just the worst experience of my life.
So on the way out, so you didn't get your flight upgrade. So you were wearing a full suit, an economy.
Yeah.
Class,
yeah, just
normal,
standard
EasyJet kind of vibe.
Full suit.
With like, where you have three people next to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, in a full suit. Oh.
So on the way out, didn't get upgraded despite all my best efforts. On the way back in, I didn't even get upgraded even though I was willing to pay for it. So the whole thing was a shambles. So that was that. I'm also going through it at the moment because this whole travelling lying thing, because I'm going away to Cornwall and Mel's sister and Mel's sister's partner are coming too. And it's her birthday, right? And he's booked her a fancy meal at a restaurant in this nice place. But now she can't go because they've got a kid and, you know, they can't leave the kid by herself and all the rest of it. So...
You say that like they forgot they had a kid when they booked it. Well, like, oh, the kid.
It's like a new baby, so she's basically still breastfeeding.
Oh, right.
So she thought that by that point she would not be breastfeeding anymore, but she still is. So,
oh, I see.
It's in a couple of weeks. So...
didn't need that detail.
Breasts. So I've seen her breasts more recently than I've seen Mel's. She's always feeding away. Anyway, so this is so inappropriate. That's like my stepsister. Is that right? Stepwife? No, not stepwife.
Sister-in-law.
Or
stepsister.
Sister-in-law.
That would be a little bit weird.
Anyway, so Ewan has organised all this.
Sorry, I just heard stepwife.
Stepwife. So Ewan's organised all this stuff with this restaurant. He's like a tour of the kitchen because he's told them that it's her birthday.
Right.
So they're like, oh, we'll make a real fuss.
Why would you want a tour of the kitchen?
Tour of the kitchen because it's like a really fancy restaurant.
Right.
So a tour of the kitchen, you can meet the chef, like the head chef. He's a really famous chef.
Oh, okay, fine.
You can meet him and we'll do like champagne and canapes and all the rest of it. And now they're not going and we are. I'm in this real bind as to whether or not to tell them that we're not them. Or just to go with the flow.
So you as a couple are replacing them as a couple.
Yeah.
So they're not going at all.
They're not going at all.
Well, I think you'd get away with it.
So Mel and I are going, but like when we get there, we'll have to say that we're them, and then they'll go, oh yeah, right, okay, and then we'll get all this fancy like special treatment, even though we completely don't deserve it.
Well, the thing is, you say you don't deserve it, but they've already organised it all.
Oh, yeah.
It's already set aside.
It's for them, though. It's not for us. We'd be lying.
Yeah, but how it will be your Mel's birthday at some point.
So yeah, it could just be like a rubbish excuse.
An early treat. Yeah. Or maybe you say to her, well, I don't need to get you a present now because, you know, you had that lovely meal. That was for your birthday.
Yeah. And even that will be better than the present she hasn't got me for mine.
Whoa.
I.e., a fake trip away to New York that's now not happening. Anyway, so we've banged on for... Oh, my God, it's been almost 40 minutes.
What?
Has that even happened? What have we even said? Have we said anything of interest at all?
Not really.
Right, okay, so coming up next, did you know that there used to be different types of human? No, me neither.
Check!
What has Kevin done this week?
Nothing. Wow! When was the last time he did this?
A very long time ago.
What has Kevin done this week? So for people that don't know...
Kevin Hendley
is lovely, but also one of the most boring people in the world. I mean, that's not unfair, is it?
I don't know. I haven't met everyone in the world.
Well, that's true. But you don't sort of do, like, a lot of things with your life.
The problem is, I often do, but
you
for some
forget.
Reason, I just forget
okay, well,
about
tell us
the interesting stuff.
What you've done this week.
So, one of the big things that's been going on this week for me has been, I was reminded... of something that happens where I live. And I'm not... this is something that happens probably where a lot of people live. But it's quite interesting where I live. And that is the art of when you have an unwanted item in your house.
Yeah.
But not something that you can definitely sort of sell on eBay or Gumtree or whatever. And, you know, you think, oh, it's worth selling that because it'll... I can post it easily. Or it's, you know, worth hundreds of pounds.
Yeah.
So it's worth selling.
So stuff like... an old sofa.
Yes.
That you're not going to get a lot of money for.
Oh, yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
Probably a slightly large example. But there are often times where I'm faced with something that we either don't want to necessarily just throw away.
Like a CD rack.
Yes. or that you can't throw away easily because it, A, won't fit in the bin, or it's not something that you can put in the normal rubbish.
Yeah.
Or you can't fit it in the car to take it to the tip, you know, that kind of thing. So the example I've got is a washing machine broke, right? And it was proper knackered. It was broke. It was really broke. It's about the third one we've had as well in about 3 years. It's really,
nightmare.
Really awful.
Start buying better washing machines.
Well, we have now. We've learned our lesson.
Have you got one of those ones you can control remotely?
Not that good.
Oh, they're so expensive.
They are. It's ridiculous.
Like £1,500.
Just for the sake of...
ridiculous.
Like, when all it is like two buttons anyway to just press it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we had a really broken washing machine and the delivery people that delivered the new one was supposed to take away the old one.
Oh, wow. It's just dawned on me that we are dedicating a serious amount of time to Kevin telling a story about getting rid of a washing machine.
Well, there is a crux to it, and it's a crux that hopefully some people out there can relate to.
Can't wait.
So, hang on in there. So, we paid for them to take away the old one when they delivered the new one, right? And I was at work during all this. Kelly was at home. And when they came and delivered the new one, it turned... Oh, no, you can't do that.
Oh, sorry. You're not going to hear... Oh, did I turn it down? Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. My boredom hand just turned you down. I didn't mean it to. I've got no control over it.
Okay, so, the boredom hand. Maybe just sit on it.
I'll sit on
that. That's fine. But they wouldn't take the old one because we hadn't unplugged it.
Right. Oh, right. Okay.
We just assumed, they'll just unplug it and take it away. They're like, you know,
they know what they're doing.
Men. They're like, not allowed to unplug it. You meant to have done that already. And even though it didn't, no one told us we were meant to have done that. So they just left us with the old one hadn't installed the new one. But anyway, we got the new one installed, and then we just got this old one in the way. So we're like, oh.
And they're really heavy, aren't they?
They've got concrete
blocks in the bottom to stop them moving around.
I literally walked it. Yeah. Through the house.
Doop dee doop.
Yeah, you know, you do it corner by corner.
Yeah. Doop dee doo. It's like how I used to walk.
But you're just balancing on one corner and just falling to the next. Yeah. So I was going, I'll put it in the garden. I thought, well, actually, no, that's not going to achieve anything. It's not going to go anywhere if it goes
in the
garden.
Stay being in the garden.
Exactly. But we couldn't easily get it in the car to get it to the tip or anything like that. And there was no other option. So I thought, well, I remembered the magic that happens on our street.
Yeah.
On our street, where I live, if you put something at the front of the house, it will go.
Like, pretty much straight away.
People have it. And when I say it will go, I don't mean, like, some kind of rubbish Samaritan has picked it up to dispose of it correctly, or the council have picked it up.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not in your actual bin, the council will not touch it. Not even a bin bag next to the bin. No chance. It will go, as in people want stuff. And some of the stuff we've got rid of that way is astonishing. That people have actually gone, oh yeah, I love that. Thank you very much. And I've seen it. I've put stuff out there before and sat in the upstairs window just waiting to see when it goes, and seeing them look at it, like some speakers, right, that had been...
I set this feature up as Kev having the most boring life ever. All you've done is tell us a story about how you moved a washing machine and put it outside your house, right? And then what's made that story even more boring and show you in an even worse light is the fact that you've just admitted that sometimes you do it just so you can sit at your window and watch to see if anybody takes it. Is this what you're doing with your life?
It's fun though, because sometimes you'll wait for hours.
Brilliant!
Sometimes it'll be there for 2 days and you'll think...
Sometimes you'll wait for hours!
No, but sometimes it'll be there for 2 days and you think, oh,
what a thrill.
It's not going to go. I'll give it one more day. And then it goes.
With binoculars.
And then it goes. Always goes. Always goes.
Good.
So yeah, the washing machine was one of the quicker ones, actually.
How long
did it
take?
That was gone within an hour and a half.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Hour and a half. Sunday, was it Sunday? No, Saturday afternoon, hour and a half later, see you later.
Oh, Kevin, you are a special breed. Yeah, I'm just looking at the time. I'm probably going to have to go to another ad break, which means all we've done is talk about a washing machine in this whole part of the show.
The Alex Baker Show Podcast.
Who saw that coming? Show doing our thing. Let's stick on some Kill Switch Engage. Yeah. It's Alex Baker Show. Welcome to it's Kerrang Radio. Hello. Thank you very much for joining me. My name is Alex Baker. Kevin Hingley is also here in the house.
We need to get Adam D on the show again.
It's been years,
but he's probably one of my favourite people we've ever had on.
He's got the biggest hands.
Yes.
Out of anybody in the world.
Enormous hands.
His hands are just like, you could cradle a whole human with his hands. Oh, that reminds me, we were going to talk about humans.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to Oxford, right, on my holidays. I didn't go to Oxford for like a week. I just went there for a day. And I went to a museum called the Ashmolean. Oh, we went punting as well, me and Mel.
What does that mean?
Punting is when you like, you don't know what punting is?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay, so imagine like a canal. There's these boats and there's a dude at the back with like a big stick.
Right.
And that's a punt. Oh. And he like you hit this, you get the stick and you drag it, you sort of you punt it.
So a pole boat.
A pole boat.
Yeah, a pole boat.
Is that what they call it? Pole boating,
probably. That's just what it's called.
No one calls it a pole boat.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Surely.
No, it's called punting. It's what they do in like Venice.
Right.
And in Cambridge and Oxford, right? So you get the thing and you punt yourself along because you're basically...
So every time you say punt, I imagine like Tom Brady of the bloody San Francisco 49ers booting a ball.
No, it's like a scaffolding pole and you're basically pushing yourself along using the riverbed.
I get the concept.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm all over the concept, down with it.
So we did that and for the first like half an hour, Mel was just absolutely adamant that she had to go first. She was like, I've done punting before, I'm really good at it, right? So like, you sit in the boat and she was at the end of the boat and I was like facing her. So I was going backwards, she was going forwards, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And she was punting along, and we just, for the first 20 minutes, just kept going around in circles. And I was like, she was like, why are we going around in circles? I was like, because, Mel, I've explained this about 10 times, but I'll explain again. She's like, don't patronise me. Like, the reason we're going around in circles is you've got the punt, and you're pushing it out to the side. So you're ostensibly pushing us round in circles. To go forwards, you have to push it behind you to sort of propel you forward. And she just could not understand the concept.
Wow.
It was going round and round circles. Anyway, so that's not what I was talking about. We went to the Ashmolean, right, which is a museum with like loads of ancient artifacts and stuff. They had like a tomb of like an Egyptian prince with all the inscriptions on it and hieroglyphics and all the rest of it. There was loads of pictures of like lizard gods, which
nice.
I thought was really interesting. Got my conspiracy theory brain going. And then we went into this different room about prehistoric man. And there was all these different skulls. And they weren't skulls of, like, monkeys or apes or anything like that. They were just, like, human skulls. And there was a little thing at the side that said something like, here are the remains of the different species of Homo sapiens. So the Homo bloody blah, 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 and the Homo da-da-da-da-da, and not even the Homo something, like the Erongus nudurala or whatever. All these different species of human. And Mel kind of looked at it and went, oh, yeah, cool, no problem. I looked at it and I went, hold on a second. There was different species of human.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Well, yeah, because it was all about the way humans evolved, and obviously evolution isn't universal across a whole species. Some get to different stages first,
so at some point,
quicker than others, and some go in slightly different directions.
So at some point, there was people that looked like people, but weren't actually people as we know people to be. They were, like, different somehow.
Yeah, because we are Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
But there were loads of others before Homo sapien.
But
like Homo erectus.
So you knew that?
When man was first standing upright, I think, was that one.
Oh. Wow.
But yeah, it's the stages of... you know, our development.
No, but it wasn't. That's not what it was saying. It's saying that they were around at the same time.
Oh, I see, yeah, because of natural selection. Evolution is, you know, not everyone does it in the same way
yeah,
at the same time.
Well, that makes sense.
So one group of people might start evolving in one way.
And they kill the others off.
Yeah, well, literally, pretty much that. And another group, maybe living in another part of the world, evolved in a different way, but that didn't work out. It wasn't the right evolution, so they all died out, you know.
Yeah.
So eventually, we whittles it down to one species, and Homo sapiens, survival of the fittest.
So the question I was going to ask is, am I really thick for not knowing that? So it appears I am. That seems like it's quite common knowledge. It totally blew my mind. I couldn't function for the rest of the day.
I mean, my understanding is quite limited. I might have explained that really badly, but a Darwinist would, I'm sure, tear me apart. But it seems to me that that's how it went down. But it is an interesting thought because...
Yeah.
What if there were still other, like, what if we hadn't finished evolving?
Yeah.
And we were living now and there were other species of human?
Because there's people, like, conspiracy theorists that say that people that are super in power, like the elite in the world, like the ones that run all the banking systems and the queen and all the rest of it, they're actually like lizards. They descended from lizards. There's people that actually believe that. And I was always thinking to myself, ha, 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 how ridiculous. And then you read something like that and you're like, oh, hold on, maybe that's not ridiculous at all.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't it be the case that some people are descended from lizards?
As opposed to...
It seems quite plausible.
Apes.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think we're out of time on that note.
Good. Think on.
Think on.
So we worked out earlier in the show, this month it's 6 years since we started doing this show.
Goodness me.
6 years, and we still don't know how to end the show.
Well,
every week we're just like,
I always have this internal tussle, because one of the primary radio rules is that you don't say goodbye. You say, right, coming up next, this, that, and the other.
But there's nothing.
But it's just tunes next, isn't it?
Yeah.
So listen to some tunes.
Just sounds rubbish, doesn't
See
it?
Later.
It is really good though. Great tunes.
Yeah. I need to go into Kerrang TV mode, because they've got this down. They say something like, stick around, loads of great stuff coming up, more rock and roll tunes. Keep it Kerrang.
Nice.
So maybe I should just do that.
Huh? Yeah, I reckon he's like, huh?